January 24th, 2017, and this is Insight Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you from the Santa Cruz Mountains, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition with all its eccentricities. And of course, what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
Many voices. Let me see. I think I'll use this one right now. Our show is sponsored by a good friend, Jeremy Bede from Wiley, Texas, artist, fellow spiritual sojourner, and Go Raw Foods. Again, a good friend, Rob Freeland at Go Raw. We'll tell you more about where you can get Go Raw, nutritious raw food, a little later on in our program, because now we want to get into it. At the risk of being accused of oversimplifying the conditions of our world, the featured phrase for tonight is simply put. We picked the phrase simply put to challenge ourselves because the perils we face and the solutions thereto appear far from simple. For instance, it could be argued that our civilization has reached the point of no return as it careens toward fascism on one hand and climate catastrophe on the other. Simply put, we're in deep doo-doo. As I shared earlier today in my email that I sent out, I have a picture. I hope you'll go to the picture and let me know and you'll see it. I'll go ahead and read the copy. We're in a multidimensional, cacophonous combination of conflicting interests vying for dominance in a confused and interconnected worldwide conundrum.
Simply put, where's the paddle?
That's it. Where is the paddle? We are up the old proverbial creek. How we successfully deal with the complex forces that threaten our liberty and our lives seems very complicated. Finding our way through that morass into some kind of a simple solution, boy, that's going to be a challenge tonight. Now, I did not say easy, I just said simple. Simply put, we're going to see how our spiritual realities interface with worldly exigencies to help us evolve while diminishing the harm that our immature species threatens to increase. Simply put, here we go.
Simply put, things are not looking too well at the top, meaning the incoming administration of the Donalds. Every day we get another flash that seems to erode the benefits that we have worked so hard to earn. Human rights are being challenged. Women's rights are being challenged. Our health, our need to take care of ourselves is being challenged. I could go on and on, but simply put, it's up to us to put wrongs right. And very simply put, we can. Because we are creative beings whose greatest strength is solving problems. Simply put, when it doesn't look right, we can see it anew and change it. Simply put.
Indeed. Wasn't simply put, but I thought it was put simply. So that we could all understand it. I feel a high sense of motivation around this. I saw a video last night with several speakers at an event called the Anti-Inauguration Day / Party. I highly recommend it. They didn't paint a pretty picture. Admittedly, these persons are from what is called the left or the liberal or progressive. And it seems that much of the people on what they call the right, but let's just call it the alt-right, as in alternative facts, soon to be known as alt facts, compliments of our dear beloved Uncle Herr Donald, who is just on a roll in so many ways. It's just amazing to see how somebody can just, you know, blithering through it like none of the facts matter. But when you have alt facts, does it matter? Now, from my perspective, because I am so immersed and have been for so many years in delving into what is called a spiritual dimension or a metaphysical dimension of reality, which really is not a lot affected by any of all this. Indeed, when I turn within, there's just this stillness. I used the metaphor before. There may be a torrential rain and a gale and all those things happening on the surface of the waters, and the waves are big and the troughs of the waves, and people are holding on for dear life. But if you go down underneath all that, it's really still. So how does the still part, the bulk of reality, as the ocean itself is the greater bulk of the water compared to the waves and the ripples? That's the challenge, to determine how these two interface so that if I feel compelled to take action to address the outer, I'm doing it aligned with the direction of this inner landscape, this inner communion relative to the outer community. So that's what I'd like to look into. You have some thoughts about that?
Always, because to me, that's where it is. That's where the stillness is, in that state of love, which is quiet and peaceful and creative. Above all else, it's creative. When I marched with the women and men and children, I marched on the day after the inauguration of the Donald. I was aware of how creative people were within the march. There's one lady had a placard. She said, "After all this time, I'm still protesting this shit."
She was like 80 or something.
She was a little bit older than I was, yes. A gray-haired lady. And what she's talking about, we've done a lot of marching and a lot of awareness to arrive at the place we are right now in terms of benefits for people with disabilities, Social Security, Medicare. Even though it's not great, it's still helpful to a lot of people who wouldn't have anything if it didn't exist. The fact that gay people, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual people can get married is like a testimony to a maturing mindset. To have those things be questioned at this point, to have them seemingly want to be taken away, it's almost more than my mind can grasp. How do you just do that? It's like somebody says, "Okay, you've drunk enough water. We're not taking your water away." Excuse me?
What comes up for me is the place where the two interface. There's those problems, but there's a larger calling for us right now. This British chap, I think his name was Jones, very articulate, very passionate guy. The one word he said, solidarity. What we need to do as a culture, as a people, as a citizenry is coalesce. And what will coalesce us? Because as it has been pointed out, different people on each side, right, left, up, and down, have their own issues. And there isn't always unity, for example, from the folks who are concerned about climate change and the folks who might be concerned about abortion rights or not rights, because we have our separate interests. And so it needs to be galvanized into some kind of central unifying thing. As immature humans, we often require an enemy before we get to that level of motivation.
We got one now.
We got one. Thank you.
The Donald. Only stands for.
Especially when you think of all those things that he stands for. Those especially.
That's what I was saying.
Senator, can I pull you in here and get your comments? What would you say he stands for, and how does that compare to what someone who's not him stands for that we are eager to see happen? Well, it's good to be here, as always. This is Senator Beauregard, and I have been intensely observant and involved in being on Capitol Hill as many years as I was, watching all these shenanigans. The problem is here, at least on one of the levels of the surface, is all that money that has bought our government. And now they look like they paid the final payment, and they just outright have it. With regard to running the country and the people he's picked to be his advisors. But we have the potential, if we could galvanize enough people, to radically deny that power of even all that money, if we can have the will to unite and recognize our union in the solidarity and let it empower us to take charge. So to put it simply, get your act together.
Well, I'm always suspicious when everything looks dark and everybody talks about the darkness, which has to happen in the beginning. But there is so much that is light. That switch has to happen right away. I can look at this person as the enemy, but as long as I hold him or the administration or anything as the enemy, I'm separating myself from that which is real. But paying attention to that which is right or that which is light, or that which is true and good and beautiful, finding it in everything is like stepping stones that can lead you to the solutions of that which is dark.
Hmm.
For me, that's important personally. I don't know about solidarity. You know, when people are coming from their ego, even people who mean well, it's still, I'm going to do this. Then it's hard for them to join with other people because every one of those people feels they've got the way. They've got what's right and right away. It's not a solidarity. It's my way. To find something that works for everybody, that everybody can connect to, is a creative approach to it. I've had this opportunity today. Somebody asked me to write up a whole bunch of things about how you have to behave in a certain place. You have to do this and you have to do that. A small group of people occupy that space. And I felt those people should be the ones making the rules to keep it clean and sanitary and workable because they use it all the time. And they should be the ones to get together and try and figure out how to get that done because they have an investment in it more than somebody telling you how it should be. I don't know if we're at the level of consciousness that can do that. I suspect that we're not very much so. This is an elected official. It wasn't the majority that voted for him. At the same time, because of the way our system is set up, the states in which he won determined that he became president. With the majority of us, that right away is a solidifying element. All those many people who didn't vote for him, and we're more than the ones that did.
I want to think about that and how that relates to will and action and having a trust in the fundamental unity. And while we're doing that, we're going to listen to a song, and then I think I'll surprise you with who sings it. Let's give him a big hand.
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. And let it fill the air and tell the people everywhere. Here don't want war. Hey there, Mr. Black Man, can you hear me? I don't want your diamonds or your game. I just want to be someone known to you as me. And I will bet my life won't be the same. So come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. And let it fill the air until
700 million, are you listening? Most of what you read is made of lies, but speaking one to one, ain't it everybody's son to wake you in the mornings when we rise? So come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before, and let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere we the people here don't want a war. Now, brothers, souls, and knits, and are you busy? If not, won't you drop this friend a line and tell me if the man who is plowing up your land has got the war machine upon his mind? No way. I say come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you never sung before, and let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere we the people here don't want a war. I say let it fill the air. Tell them people everywhere we the people here don't want a war.
A simple song of freedom sung by Bobby Darin.
Oh, really?
For those of you who don't remember Bobby Darin, he was just a wonderful singer in, what, the 60s, 70s?
Yeah, mostly I think of him as a jazz singer. That was a troubadour song.
He was a great singer.
Yes, he was.
Mack the Knife, that was a song was famous for, which was based upon a show by Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill.
That's right.
Speaking of Kurt Weill, we have Professor Schnitzel. Yeah, Kurt Weill. My family knew the Weills. We were with them for a while, but we were both in Frankfurt. That's where they got the name, the Weills. After a while, they were not the same people that we knew when we first met them, because they were so wily. And they would get into all kinds of trouble when they would be... To put it simple, as you say, they were like clowns. Yeah, they were the wily clowns. They had an act on the circus.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. This is not made up here. Put simply, they were...
Alternative facts.
There's facts and there's alternative facts and there's...
Schnitzel facts.
Schnitzel facts, or I like to think of them as alternative to alternative facts. That way you have the negative times the negative when it comes out to the positive. So if you have alternative facts times other alternative facts, they cancel each other out. And you're back to, simply put, the facts. But they say it wasn't that policeman on the Dragnet. The facts, ma'am? Wasn't it? Yes, the facts, ma'am. Nothing but the facts. Yeah, that was Sergeant Friday. Thanks for reminding me of that.
I wanted to get into a simple song of freedom. It was freedom. I was just thinking about being free. And one of the most important things about being free is to be able to speak out different points of view. You can't have one point of view and have freedom. That's not freedom. It's so important. One of the scariest things is the maligning of our press. I was saying that most reporters are pretty dedicated to getting the facts right. There's always people who are, what do you call that, yellow journalism?
Right.
Or just interested in creating big headlines and selling newspapers. People don't even read newspapers as much anymore as they used to, so it can really go away. And we have people who want to say anything, you know, putting it out as a fact. It's important to use our minds more than ever to discern truth from fiction. The schools have a big part in it, to educate our children to question, not to just accept, to question, to find out, to dig down, to see what's behind everything that's said. And when we have a society like that, it would be impossible to have a Trump running anything. You have to question, where is he coming from? You know, what's he about? I hear people say, he's sincere, and I'm sure he is sincere, but what's he sincere about? You know, I don't question that he's not sincere. I think he's very sincere that he's important and he's going to be right all the time.
Hi, this is Barney, and I would like to comment about the relative sincerity of this fellow New Yorker. I have that in common with him, and there is that feisty kind of guy there that I like, actually. I mean, he's a feisty guy. He's a New Yorker. But what he stands for and the level in which he finds it imperative to call attention, not to just himself, but to him being this blown-up version of himself. It would be funny if it weren't becoming so problematic and possibly tragic for a lot of people. 20 million people are now getting insurance, as I understand it. It won't be getting their insurance if they...
Well, we don't know that that's true. That's a possibility, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That's good here. I feel better because I got some relatives. My cousin Manny, he is one of those people who's insured in that way. You know, he's older. He doesn't have a lot of money. And thank God they got that for him. Cousin Manny, how you doing out there?
And if it does happen, it's another contingency that will speak out.
Simply put, stay healthy.
Well, that's one way, Barney.
Thanks, Barney. That's good. I wanted to come at it a little more from a direct, what we would consider spiritual orientation. It has to do with these Beatitudes that Yeshua, Jesus, spoke of, where he began each premise. They were really a series of premises. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People got strung out on that for many years. But this is what he had to say to Glenda Green, whom he was dictating to as she was painting him. If you had listened with your heart, you would have heard the truth despite the losses in translation. However, since you have now focused on your misunderstanding, let me help you through the difficulty. You're stumbling over the word poor. In Aramaic, the word poor has a number of possible meanings which can only be determined by the context and thoughts being conveyed. Poor could mean impoverished or depleted, as in washed out soil. It could mean lacking in ability, absent of quality, low in potential, or deficient. These meanings translate easily into definitions of your language. Yet there is one more meaning that poor had in Aramaic, which is not used in most modern languages. It meant simple. When I made that proclamation, my true reference was to simplicity. So let me recite it correctly for you now, and then you can tell me how you feel. Blessed are the simple in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Simply put, I like it.
So there's these parallel, just for the sake of now, let's use parallel as a metaphor. These parallel intentions, movements of life. There's this thing that's happening on the surface, and it's been happening through evolution, and we've had tyrants, and we've had breakthroughs, and tyrants and breakthroughs, and societies collapse, and they came, and they went, and they came, and they went, blah, 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 blah. And that's just the way it's been, and as some might suggest, that's probably how it's going here, on our way down.
Until the time comes, and I don't think it's going to come, I really don't, but then again, I am an optimist, that we will be silenced, that we can't say what we want to say and we can't say what we're saying tonight. As long as we still have a voice, there's hope. And we do have a voice. I don't mean just on the airwaves. I mean, we have a voice everywhere we go. I know it's preceded by our action. If the voice comes after the action instead of before it, it has more power. In other words, if I put my hand out to you as my sister, my brother, and then I say, I feel in accord with you, those words make sense because I'm holding your hand or I'm looking in your eyes. So it behooves us to step up to that plate and remove the separation that is so predominant in these times. There's always a person who wants to separate us from each other, because that's more powerful. oh, so this peoples are not okay and those peoples are not okay. And meanwhile, and so we all have factions. But we are okay, and we have to come together in our okayness to battle separation.
Putting it simply.
Okay. You want to do that? Simply put. Go right ahead.
If we can come together and laugh at ourselves, that will go a very long way toward us becoming more and more unified.
I think so. It's absolutely important to laugh at ourselves because we are absurd.
And, as I like to say, when you can laugh at your ego, you're too slippery for it to get a hold of you. Which is why we're starting what we call the Catch and Release Ego Program. I've mentioned it before, but maybe, Rabbi, you could talk to us about the Catch and Release Ego Program.
Well, yeah, the ego, it's busy, it's swimming around, it's constantly trying to take charge, and at a certain point, you have to catch it. The way you catch it is when you hear something in your head or you find yourself doing something that's making you separate from everybody else, there's a good chance that your ego is there. So you can catch it, right? Real quick, catch it before it gets away, and then release it. You don't have to eat it or cook it. You release it. And what that means with your ego is that you give it a kiss and you say to it, to put it simply, this is not about you. You're excused. You catch it and release it. How much more simply can we be?
Simply put, that is definitely at the heart of the problem. When you have a very large ego dominating the stage of our attention, which is what's happening right now, it's very easy for our egos to respond to that. So it's a challenge for each of us personally is not to let our egos get in the way of that response, but to drop into the place where see that it's not real. I mean, in truth, it's not real. No matter how much damage it seems like it's going to do, it isn't real.
This is Father O'Malley. Oh, surely it is not real there, darling. The thing about this separator, let's just call it the separator, is that it gets so scared that if it doesn't separate itself from something else there, it won't exist anymore. Because the only way it knows itself is by the limitations it has. For it to just suspend all those limitations and to abandon itself to the... what was that line you say, Errol? I love that line about abandon... Oh, yes. Abandon yourself to the sterling unseen and the bountiful mystery of light. Oh, yes, it just warms the cockles of my soul when I hear you say those words there. To abandon ourselves, to trust in that movement of reality that's directed by love there. And as you go back and face the problems that you face, whether how to fix your shoelaces or how to stop the Mr., what you regard as the negative Mr. Trump and what he stands for and what he's doing, it all needs to come from a place of being centered in the truth of who you are and not out there on some shaky limb that there is the ego. To put it simply or to make it simply put there, either way, I would say, get a life. As opposed to an ego life.
It's hard. If your ego rules your being, you don't know that it is separate from who you really are. You have no idea. That's how you function every day. You're driven by that ego. Until you taste an egoless moment, you have no way of knowing the difference. Through many of the disciplines that are out there, you know, meditation, stillness, awareness, all sorts of things can get us to that moment where all of this, which seems so powerful in terms of running us, is not there. But we are. We are there. And we are there without that. That's the most exciting thing of all.
It's so simple and it feels good to just drop into that simplicity. So let's see if we can do that a little more.
alive. The sun, the moon, the stars, the beating of two hearts. I love the way the simple things just are.
That was Simple Things. Did you guess that? Written by Jim Brickman. And we're going to ask him to introduce the singer because it's not on the album. But here he is. Let's see if we can hear who she is.
About to introduce to you, I was beyond thrilled. Please welcome Beth Nielsen Chapman.
Beth Nielsen Chapman. I thought it was a wonderfully done song, and she had a wonderful voice. Thank you, y'all. This is Inside
You're
Out.
You're not too impressionable,
I
simply
am.
Put.
But that's why I do impressions. I do impressions of people who do impressions of other people who are trying to impress themselves and others. People don't know that. They don't even know it's a category.
I want to get back to the ego, because there are certain groups that have called the Donald an egomaniac and a megalomaniac.
Mm, you know, which is better, you think? If you had to pick, which one would you pick?
Don't ask me to do that.
Okay.
It's like Sophie's Choice. No,
nothing like that. But I could see why it reminded you of that.
You have to make a choice between one and the other. No way.
Right.
They're equally powerful. You think of many people who are in positions of power. Their ego serves them in many ways, puts them out there, pushes them to the forefront, pushes them into leadership roles, pushes them into, I am taking charge. I am taking charge. But for some people, there's also something that goes along with it, which is a true desire to serve. And then they get out of the way. Even though they know that they can move it, they're also, I know what it is, they're also receptive. And when you're truly receiving, the ego is not receiving. The ego doesn't know how to receive. But we do. And so what happens is that the ego can put out, but it's the true self or the higher self that's better at receiving. So if those two go together, they can become very powerful in a very positive way.
You know who addressed that was Robert Greenleaf. He recognized there was something what he called servant leaders. And he developed a whole institute. There's a book on it, and it's really amazing and fantastic. We were talking about Enemy earlier. He wrote this essay, and I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a taste of it. He says, who is the enemy? Who's holding back more rapid movement to the better society that is reasonable and possible with available resources? Who's responsible for the mediocre performance of so many institutions? Who's standing in the way of a larger consensus on the definition of the better society and paths to reaching it? And then he goes on, he says, not evil people, not stupid people, not apathetic people, not the system, not the protesters, the disruptors, the revolutionaries, the reactionaries. And then he goes on to say some more comments about it, and I want to cut to, let's put it simple, who he says the real enemy is. The real enemy is fuzzy thinking on the part of good, intelligent, vital people and their failure to lead and to follow servant leaders as leaders. Did you get that?
Well, I got the words, but I don't know what fuzzy thinking means.
When you ask that, my mind goes into this kind of fuzzy place. And instead of having thoughts that go one after the other, it feels like cotton candy's in there. And it just wants to gobble it up, not realizing that cotton candy is actually gobbling you up.
I think of fuzzy when my tongue gets fuzzy when I had a nap. And I come out of it, and my tongue's all fuzzy and everything. It's like accumulation almost of dead things.
It's not thinking. I was listening to Richard Dreyfuss today. He put out a video just a few weeks ago. Very passionate. Please check it out. He's head of the Dreyfuss Civics Initiative. Very passionate. one of the things he calls for is we have to have civics taught, and we have to learn to be critical thinkers. We have to be taught that. We have to be educated to be that, educated to become responsible citizens. So the big question, though, and this is where we need to hopefully get to a simply put answer, is how best to make the transition from this, let's call it, unconscious, ego-dominated, immature, messy species to the next level of taking responsibility as a community for our world together and making sure all aspects of life are nourished and brought to fruition.
Looking at our grandchild, who is an emerging being, even though she's a being already, there's two things going on. There's her proclivity to be a thinker, conceptual, and there's the people around her who think and are conceptual. The people around her who may engage her in ideas move that process along, but she's totally capable of getting there. And she will get there, our granddaughter.
Ella.
And she's just one of millions of beings on this planet who all start that way. In other words, it is our nature to become more conscious. But it helps to have conscious people around us to bring that out, though it's there.
I need to bring up something before I forget it. We always close our show, as we will most likely do tonight, with the line, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. Simply put. Now, there's that concept of resistance, and the speakers at the anti-inauguration event were speaking of we need to resist. So we have two different aspects of resistance, but I want to make sure we're clear on the difference. When we talk about resistance is what you add to pain.
To make it last longer and hurt more.
Well, how would you explain it? What is your name? You're the gal from the... Wait a minute, don't tell me. You're the...
I won't tell you. I wouldn't dare tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You have something going on in your life, and you push against it. And because you push against it, it's not free to move on. So it remains, and it gets more and more when you push against it. I don't agree with these people about a resistance. I don't even think it's about resistance. It's about becoming so strong that that which is not real has to disappear. I mean, it's like what you do with an immune system. You create the immunity is so strong that whatever is going on inside you, the bugs, they can't live in that climate. So when you create the climate of, I will use the word love because it's what is real for me. When you create a climate of love, you're not in resistance. What you are doing is you're creating a true alternative to what exists. And because I believe that's real, the other is the illusion will die.
Simply put, catch and release that ego.
Yeah.
Wow, that was great, Rochelle. That was really good. I wrote that, by the way, and I just thought it was really nice of Rochelle.
Oh.
That's how much I thought of it, that I wish I had written it. You wrote it for me, and I could have written it, and then I could have taken credit. And
that's
ego. And I could have counted all the people that came to hear me talk at my day of assuming command.
That's a child. See, me. Do you remember when Dustin
Olivier
Hoffman was talking about Laurence Olivier, and he asked him why he acted, and Laurence Olivier said, see me.
That's right. He only said it three times.
Oh, but it's much more fun to say it five.
Well, it depends on who's evaluating the fun. Is it like our sponsors, Jeremy Bede and Go Raw Foods? They're fun. And they're able to combine fun with creativity and nurturing. And that's what we need to educate in our youngins. Do you want to? You haven't been there in a long time, Melvin.
Well, hi, this is Melvin. We need to educate our youngins.
man, because they are going uneducated because they're just being trained to be consumers. So if I were you, I would get on that right away and get them off consuming. Of course, that would require that you yourself aren't dominated by consumerhood. So simply put, X the consumer orientation. Mel. That would be a simply put way of doing it. Yeah. I want to play this song for us to listen to because it's so beautiful. And while we go through this, it's going to be bumpy no matter what. While we go through it, it's really important to appreciate the simple gifts. And who better than Yo-Yo Ma, whom we hear now, and Alison Krauss. Alison Krauss.
That was the sweetest version I've ever heard.
I had this image as they were singing that before every major vote that comes up in Congress, they should have a song like that. Before you vote, just listen to this song. Kind of go with it. See if you can just override the dominant, cynical, got to get it done the way I want to do it now kind of side of your personality. Simply put, the ego nature.
I'm very aware that if I see something and I put it out as my truth, that there's going to be a whole lot of people who won't see it that way. And that's just the way it is. I don't think that I am as mature as I'd like to be to see where we connect, to find the places that we connect rather than come and connect around what I see. Or you come and connect around what you see. But where do we connect? It was interesting, Obama, when he brought, I don't know, one of the sports teams to the White House and people were talking about
you. It was the second grade marble competition in Hale Cook High School in Kansas City, Missouri.
But that's okay. Oh. He said, sports brings people together so much, but it's still competitive. I'd like to believe that music brings people together more than anything else. One, it's not competitive. There is such unity and solidarity when people are listening to music together. whether it's classical music or rock music or whatever. When you said they should play some music in Congress or something, can we find something like that that would bring us together? Humor does.
Music was one of the things that converted me to my belief in God, because chords resolve. That's an amazing thing. You can go up and this chord and the third and the fifth, and you come back and they resolve. And there's this sense of, oh, it just comes back together. That's the dominant thing in music, unless it's really crazy abstract music. But most people listen to and play music that it'll resolve. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish Earl would stop singing so badly. But you see how it resolved?
Yes, I do, definitely
see?
Do.
See, that was a kind of resolve. You said something, what's going to unify us? And the senator's been just pulling on my, okay, go ahead, what do you got? I'd like to remind you that I have spent years considering having a mission of these here United States, and that is what can unify us. And I'd like to hear your comments, because I only have my perspective. My perspective is that the mission of the United States is encapsulated, simply put, in the preamble to these here United States. Form more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. These folks to get along when they're at home. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, keep these folks healthy, and finally secure the blessings to ourselves and our posterity, by the way, which is the people going to have to deal with the mess we're leaving behind. To put it simply, clean up your garbage.
Of course. We can ride that one very well. Certainly, we all know it. We do have our interpretations of it, which are different, but I think we can agree on a lot of it, more of it than less of it.
I think we can, but we need to have the opportunity. We need to come together. We first need in these assemblies. We need to have nationwide gatherings where we come together, the thousands of us, and throw these parties. And at these parties, we laugh at our egos, first of all. Get that out of our system, because until that's out of the system, we can't be anywhere near as powerful when we're unified if we still got egos, individual egos, chipping away like termites in the structure. And so we do that, and then we can see where we can come into real agreement. Because let's remember, agreement is where power comes from. Best example, simply put, money is just an agreement.
And we all agree to it. And we give it all our power, too.
It's like the dominant language. Everybody speaks that language, no problem.
Even if the currency has a different name, it's still the language of money.
As I have suggested in weeks prior, that we have a new currency, and the new currency is understanding. Understanding, as much as anything else, can be a catalyst for coming into union. And as Robert Greenleaf suggested, creating the better society. So there we have it. We've been inside out the naked truth tonight. We've looked at the whole issue of resistance and non-resistance, and what are we going to do about this mess we're in, and how
and the
we're...
ego, and simply put,
oh my goodness,
find our strength and move with it.
We do, and we have that opportunity, and we'd like to again thank our sponsors, Jeremy Bead and Go Raw Foods. I want to thank you, Rochelle, for being so present and bright and enlightened. Not always as accommodating as we would like you to be, but...
I don't bow to the mass.
That's another issue, which we'll talk about after the show, if we may. In the meantime, accommodate me by saying, what do we need to remember?
Resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Simply put.